Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, they couldn't have picked a worse time to have an argument, and they couldn't have picked a worse thing to argue about. Now, that could apply to any number of circumstances. That could apply, like maybe you're having an argument on the way to church one day or on the way to having dinner at your mom and dad's. But I'm particularly thinking about the disciples and the argument they had during the Last Supper with Jesus. Now, let me set this up for just a minute to say how bad it was. During the Last Supper, the disciples decided that that was the time when they were going to have a debate about who was going to be the greatest in Jesus' new kingdom. Because remember, the disciples thought that Jesus was going to establish a new political kingdom, and that meant that the 12 of them would be the people in charge. So naturally, when you're at the meal that you assume is going to be like the last private meal before Jesus gets in charge, that you're going to argue about who's going to be the greatest. Now, bear in mind that they had just had what we now consider the institution of communion, which means that Jesus had just told them that he was going to be handed over and that he was going to have his body broken and his blood shed for them. Not exactly the way that a political party gets started. But they decided that the follow-up to that needs to be this conversation about how they were going to be great and who was going to be the greatest. Now, you can imagine around that table, there were all kinds of characters that were thinking about this. And specifically, we had Peter and James and John, who, again, like I've said before, thought they were going to be the inner circle. So you can imagine the kind of debate that was rolling. Now, it says in the Gospel of Luke, when they get to this point, that they have this conversation. And I have to imagine that when Jesus starts hearing them talk about this, he has got to be super disappointed in them. You know, I mean, all the things that he's been teaching, all the things that he's been doing, should have at least given them the common decency or understanding of the situation to not have the argument about greatness. Like, who's going to be his right-hand man? But instead, they ignore all of that, and they decide to have the debate. Well, Jesus has a different plan for that moment. He goes and turns to them and reminds them, teaches them about what greatness and what it's going to look like in his kingdom to come. Now, he knows what they're up to, and he turns to them and he says to them, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you are going to have to be like the youngest. And if you want to be a leader in my kingdom, you're going to have to serve. He reminds them that this is not how it is in their time, because that's not how people think it's supposed to be. People think that being in power means that you are going to be the one who gets the benefit of being in power. That if you're going to be a leader, you're going to be the one who is served. And the disciples would have understood this so clearly that it was going to be a different way because Jesus reminded them that. But then at the same time, they would have understood that they thought that they were going to get greatness by being powerful. Now, the reason the disciples would have thought they would have been getting the gift of being powerful is because they thought they would be Jesus' helpers, and like I said, but also it's because that's how it was in their day and age too. The framework that Jesus reminds them about is that the people that were in charge were considered to be the benefactors of those who were serving them. And so naturally the disciples thought it would be their turn to be the ones who benefit, that they would become the benefactors. But Jesus reminds them that that's not how it's going to be. That if you want to be great in Jesus' estimation, then you need to be the youngest. The youngest meaning the people who have the least important jobs and sometimes the dirty jobs and sometimes the jobs that nobody wants. And if you wanted to be a leader, you needed to seek to serve and not to be served. Now, in that moment, Jesus, he seems to know what is about to happen. The disciples should maybe have a better clue that he was about to be arrested and betrayed and then go on to be crucified. But at least in that very moment, they would have had a sense that Jesus was changing the definition of greatness, that Jesus was changing the definition of what it would mean to be a leader. And that is something that we need to take seriously, even if the disciples didn't. It's very interesting, as one commentator pointed out, that by the end of that entire night, there's not a single role model left of the disciples. They've all been rolled up and thrown out as people we should follow. But where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us with this really important reality that Jesus is the one who gives us the example that we should follow. That Jesus is the one who teaches us and shows us how we are to live. And if we want to be great, not by the definition of the world then or the world now, then we want to seek to serve, not to be served, like Jesus did. We want to make sure that we are being the kinds of people that Jesus calls us to be, and not the kind of people that the world around us tells us to be. Because in the world around us is going to tell us that we need to be the ones who benefit, as opposed to being a benefit to others. That we want to be the ones who are the benefactors, that get what they want, as opposed to being the one who gets the opportunity to give it away. And if we want to be the kinds of people that Jesus is calling us to be, then we, of course, want to live in this way. Because the disciples, well, what did they want? They wanted to have influence so that they could benefit, as opposed to being the ones who had influence to be a benefit to others. So what do we want to do with this? We want to make sure that we're at least thinking about two things in our lives. For those of us who have influence, for those of us who have power, we want to be thinking about how can we use that to be a benefit to others. Many of us have influence. Many of us have the ability to be a blessing. And we want to make sure that instead of seeking what we want to seek to make sure that others have what they need. This is a very important part of what it means to make sure that we're living how Jesus wants us to live. And the other thing I want to encourage us all to think about is the very idea that we want to leave it better than we found it. We want to leave life better than we found it. We want to leave people better than we found them. And we want to leave places better than we found it. Because if we seek to leave people, leave places, leave the world better than we found it, then we are going to make sure that we are seeking to serve them, that we're seeking to make life better. That leave it better than you found it, that's a sentiment that many people are taught, right? Like clean up after yourself, make sure that a room is tidy, all those kinds of things. But what if we said to ourselves that we want to leave not just places better than we found it, which is a sign of being a servant, but what if we said we want to leave people better than we found them? Think about the ways in which that would call us into serving the people in our lives. Think about the ways in which we would be seeking greatness according to the way Jesus wants to define greatness. Think about the ways that we would be seeking to serve people instead of to be served. Simply by saying, how can I leave someone better than when I found them? Now, you might be thinking to yourself that you can do that, and you should. You might be thinking to yourself, man, I think I do some of that. Well, then you should keep doing that. And maybe you're thinking about this now, and you're saying to yourself, boy, I don't know if I do this enough or at all. And you should consider Jesus' teaching here and ask yourself, how can I seek to leave people better than when I found them? Now, we have the benefit of being able to hear this teaching of Jesus and have the opportunity to know that it fits into the context of where Jesus was going. So when we hear this, we can understand what Jesus was saying, that he wanted to not only teach us what it would look like to be a servant, but he was willing to die so we could see what it would look like to be a servant. The disciples, they didn't always have the benefit of seeing the whole picture at once. And so we got to give them an understanding of the journey that they were on that they wouldn't always quite understand what Jesus was up to. But for those of us that have the opportunity and the desire to live as Jesus wants us to live, well, we have the chance to hear Jesus' teaching and put it into action. If we want to be great according to Jesus, we want to be the people who seek to serve. If we want to be the leaders that help the world become the place that God wants it to be, then we want to seek to be the people who serve those around us. When we do all these things, we help people experience more and more what God wants for them. And the beautiful thing about it is we will experience more and more the life God wants for us. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And God wants you to go out into the world, not to be served, but to serve.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.